Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you possibly had the opportunity to tune in last week, then you're aware that my very special guest, as he is again this morning, is Will Wynn, who is an ordained minister. And we all but turned our attention to entirely what is transpiring here in the state of California, specifically a number of bills that are seeking to ultimately prevent ministry to men and women with transgenderism or with unwanted same-sex attraction. Last week we covered quite a bit of territory, and I knew that because of the nature of what we were going to be discussing that we would probably need two programs. So we're going to be continuing this morning. Will, good morning. Welcome back.
Well, good morning, Phil. It's good to be with you again.
Thought we'd just pick up where we left off. Okay with you?
Sure.
Should politicians be in the business of denying people the freedom to find counseling and resources to help them find happiness, or to shut down counselors, schools, and other religious organizations that provide those services?
Well, of course, I adamantly say no, they shouldn't be able to do that. And yet somehow the realm of spiritual counseling has somehow gotten into the legislative process so that the people, for example, the LGBT community that has so many vested interests in that as far as their own personal importance and personal rights politically are concerned, that they are adamant about getting laws passed now that are going to be a direct infringement on our First Amendment rights under the Constitution of the United States, not just for free speech, but for our right to practice our religion and to practice our faith, to practice our biblical worldview Christianity, where you and I are coming from, in a manner to be able to minister to help others that are in need, or certainly for those that are crying for help and are very, very confused sexually in terms of their own sexuality, in same-sex attraction, as well as this mess that we have in this transgenderism issues, where laws are now being passed to convert bathrooms into generic bathrooms instead of men and women, and to institute the introduction of gender dysphoria, which is a problem even within elementary school kids teaching as they present information that comes out of the cable system. For example, if maybe some of this audience has seen on TLC a program called I'm Jazz.
Yes.
Story about a young man, I think about 16 years of age at this point, who has been recounting on television broadcasts, and now I believe it's in a book and available and being brought into public school elementary situations, about his feelings of being a boy trapped in a girl's body.
Right.
Or vice versa. And his declaration was that he was had a boy's body, but he has a girl's mind. Well, there's nothing scientific about that. There's nothing true about that. It has never been proven. You can't. They've looked for decades for the DNA, transgender DNA segment of the way people are made up. They can't find it. It's not there. But this young man begins to talk about his struggle to become this girl that's in his mind, And his parents are facilitating and helping him. He has gone through now, in a prepubescent period, surgical reconstruction of his genitals. By the way, I guess if folks are listening to this and you have young children, maybe they should guard their ears. But we're talking about the facts. We don't need to be afraid about this. This is human sexuality. And besides, I think you and I talked the other day, Phil. I don't know how long it's been since I've heard a sermon on human sexuality.
Agreed. Yes, absolutely right. And that brings up a very important point, because in the previous broadcast, we turned our attention to the authority of Scripture. And we know, hands down, it is impossible, scripturally speaking, to validate, endorse, or encourage homosexual practice from Scripture. It simply cannot be done. Now, you would think, case closed. But you know what, Will? Even my last 3 to 4 conversations with gay activists, ultimately I had an opportunity in each one of those conversations to say, can you provide me, please give me a Scripture where God says homosexual practice in His eyes is okay? Every single gay activist replied with, there aren't any, and everybody knows that.
Of course.
So we're really talking about, ultimately, the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ.
And aren't we talking about that in terms of what we know to be absolutely true in the Scripture?
Yes.
If we're going to eliminate the segments of homosexual sin and transgenderism out of the Scripture in order to try to justify ourselves and to somehow continue to use the Word of God, then at what point are we going to take Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are we going to eliminate that one next? Or are we going to look at various things that that we know to be absolutely true in terms of what the Scripture tells us about life and living? How about the Ten Commandments? Well, we know what's happened to the Ten Commandments within the public sector and the public environment. It has been essentially erased.
Right.
The prohibition of the Ten Commandments out of schools has been there for many years. The prohibition of prayer, the prohibition of the Scripture in public schools, the essential atheist perspective of public schools, wherein now we know children are being taught all kinds of things that are contrary to what basic Christian faith is, it's scary.
Yes.
I'll give you a quick example where the confusion within public schools. I have a little grandson. He was getting ready to board the bus to go home the other day. He does not live in California. And the circle of friends that he had, they were talking about aliens. And the little friends were saying, aliens are probably going to be coming to Earth. We're probably going to see aliens come to Earth. Well, my little grandson is a sharp kid, and he has been studying some of the signs of Jesus' return in not only his Sunday school, but on his own. At 10 years old, he's remarkable. And he just calmly looked at his group of friends, and he said, there are no such things as aliens. Not in a terrestrial sense, but he said, but Jesus Christ is coming back soon.
Well, good for him. Wow.
Wasn't that good?
Yes.
Except for the fact that a teacher was within earshot and heard him say that and went to my grandson and said, don't ever speak about Jesus again on this campus.
Wow. My goodness. Well, let's talk a bit about who may be affected by California Assembly Bill 2943, and certainly, again, there are others. This particular bill, this legislation, would negatively impact Christian counselors, bookstores, church conferences, medical and health care professionals, Christian schools, and colleges. For example, a simple monetary transaction, such as buying a book about overcoming homosexuality or paying a counselor for help with gender confusion, would trigger this particular bill. You could possibly be sued, fined. We don't know exactly what the details of that is going to be, but the goal here is to make largely a lot of what we do at His Way Out Ministries, which is all biblically based, illegal.
Well, it goes along with what is currently, of course, being fought in the courts, and that is, does a Christian baker have to construct a wedding cake for a homosexual couple? Do they have to that they have to actually perform their business in a manner that is against their faith in order to accommodate homosexual couples or some other LGBT whatever. This is very interesting because what if a bakery wanted to bake a cake in support of something that has to do with the LGBT community or homosexuals coming out of homosexuality or of aiding and assisting others that might want to come out. And they bake a cake to do that. Actually, that would be a violation of this law also. So it seems to me that the underlying issue here is that the government has now taken a position of not wanting anything Christian. First of all, they exclude it out of anything that they consider to be government because of the separation of church and state. Now, they want to separate society
right.
from Christianity.
Right. You know, and really in the practical sense, to put it simply, Christian schools, churches, and others who hold to a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality would be open to lawsuits for teaching biblical truth about homosexuality or transgenderism.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And those are the positions. I mean, we're finding ourselves. And talking with a brother the other day and talking about this bill and two others that possibly could be coming down the pike. It's like we're on a big freight train that's going downhill without brakes.
Yes.
And how is it going to stop? Where is it going to end? It's going to end up in a gigantic wreck that is going to impact our entire culture and society, Phil. And I don't know how far we can go with this. I've been looking and reading Anne Graham Lott's book entitled The Daniel Prayer, and she cites three specific things that she sees as a direct condemning of the United States of America right now that we have allowed to occur. And the first thing, of course, is the abortion issue. 60 million children, and I've never heard it expressed this way. I always express it. 60 million children murdered, unborn, partially born, and many viably born that nobody really knows about that actually withstood the abortion and yet were murdered outside the womb. That number one. The second thing she married that she mentions specifically, she mentions the defiance of God's institution of marriage.
Yes.
That strikes directly at the variation of anything that is biblical regarding human sexuality.
Absolutely.
Specifically.
And I would like to really encourage all of our listeners. I know all too well this is a very, very emotional topic, but as Christians, we must uphold the authority of Scripture. Please don't buy into a lot of the rhetoric that is flying across this nation around the world that as Christians, when we defend God's word and God's character, we are not being a bigot. We are not being homophobic. We are, in fact, once again, protecting God's character and his word. I have a quote here, actually, is per Ronald Reagan, said in his inauguration speech as California governor. He said, "Freedom is a fragile thing and is never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. Those who have known freedom and then lost it have never known it again." Powerful, powerful words.
There are. Our first line of ministry, Phil, is our family.
Absolutely.
Our children, the next generation. It's been many, many months ago, well, that's probably a few years ago, that I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And I remember going home, not in shock. I mean, I thought, well, if God's time for me on earth is ending, okay, I can deal with that. Of course, God told me as I was meditating, praying, that I will not die. The important thing is that we have to deal with that. We need to understand that we have a ministry to our families, and that was the first thing that became paramount in my thinking was, wait a minute, My children, they call me at night. Dad, I've run into this situation. What should we do about that? I have grandchildren that the Bible actually tells me that I need to be responsible for teaching and training and bringing up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I didn't feel like I had done that yet as completely as I wanted to. I've seen my own children not go into, let's say, specifically preaching ministry, but ministry in churches, not necessarily full-time, but are involved in the ministry of the gospel, most of them musically. We have a first-line responsibility of ministry, and a lot of people don't even realize that. Sometimes ministers don't even realize that.
I agree, yes. And you know what, again, being a man that was once gay identified, when I did surrender my life to Christ some 32 years ago, and I was not raised in church, I was not raised in a Christian family environment, but when I began to read the Bible, it was crystal clear to me in Leviticus, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, etc., that homosexual practice, not unlike other behaviors, in God's eyes, was not acceptable. It was a sin. That was abundantly clear to me. Nobody needed to expand on that for me. No. I saw it for myself.
Yep. Yeah. And I will say this, and we've spoken of it before we started this broadcast. We're not just talking about the deprivation and the slide of the moral and ethical element of our culture in the United States. We're talking about worldwide change that has to do with human sexuality. Australia?
Yes.
Australia recently. And of course, look at all the things that are happening here in the United States as well. But as I was looking literally at the slide that we're going into, we see that, all right, homosexuality in itself is a difficult enough issue. But if we look in Leviticus, within the same context, we can see the prohibition of other sexual practices. And that's why we were talking earlier about the standards. Who set the standards for sexual behavior? Who said that you shouldn't marry your niece? Who said that your cousin shouldn't be having relationships with you? Who said you shouldn't marry your aunt or uncover her nakedness or your father's nakedness or all of these things that are in Leviticus that are so clearly understood that would never be allowed under the laws of the United States of America? But now that we've opened the door, literally the Pandora box, as it were, so that homosexuality is no longer a problem, then the verses right after that speak directly to sexual relations with animals, Phil. The Academy Award film this year, what was it called?
Call Me By Your Name or something
like
that?
No, it was Waters. It was something about Waters.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I can't remember. I think I had it here in my notes. The Shape of Waters, okay? It depicts, it, even though in kind of a fantasy sort of way, it depicts a physical relationship between a lady and this thing that lives in the pond or the lake or wherever he lives, implying very strongly the sexual union between humans and animals. You say, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. I think I communicated that to a friend of mine who struggled with this, and their response was, EW. And yet I'm looking at an article right now that was put up in Watchman on the Wall. This is Watchman Nee's publication. And this was in 2014. A story by Jennifer LeClaire that specifically speaks about the horrendous practice of sexual activity with human beings. And within this article, and you can put your hands over your ears right now, she cites the fact that in Denmark, which is really off the cliff in human sexuality, they literally have animal brothels.
Mm.
Okay? Now, we'll say, well, that's sick. That's wrong. Well, I'm just citing what exists. We can also look at our nation to the north, Canada. Look at what's going on up there under Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government up there.
Right.
The organization that I'm ordained with was given a dictate to be silent about homosexuality, about human sexual deviation from the scripture. Of course, they're not going to be silent. And in fact, in communication with my brothers, even as our communication, if this kind of thing comes down the pike, I'll go to jail. I'll go to jail. I don't care. I mean, I will not be silenced in this particular area. This needs to be declared. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be absolute.
Well, as this world continues to wax worse and worse, it gets darker and darker, I would submit that it's a very, very exciting time also to be a Christian, to be light and salt. There's no question that America is in need of huge and immediate change, and I believe the church should be out front showing the way to bring it about. If things continue in this wonderful nation as they have been for some time, America and the church will remain adrift without a moral compass. We have got to come back to the truth and the authority of Scripture.
We have to, and our own, and take responsibility for our behavior before God.
Absolutely.
The first word of the gospel, it sometimes is forgotten. It's what John the Baptist preached, actually.
Yes.
Very simple phrase. He was in the wilderness. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Yes.
When Jesus came out of the wilderness and started his public ministry, the first words out of his mouth, word for word, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
The 138th Psalm says, "I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name." Obviously, God thinks very highly of his name, but he has magnified his word even above his name, and so should we all. Amen?
Amen. Even as Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, "Father, sanctify them with the truth." And then he followed it by the important phrase that said, "Your word is truth."
Yes. I still continue to believe that the reason God birthed his church, the reason God continues to build his church, and the reason God anointed his church is that he intended his church from the beginning, as he does today, that his church would be to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. And I understand and I appreciate that prayer ultimately is the work. We take everything in prayer, but there's also a time to get up and move. I'm thinking of Daniel 11:32, which says very clearly, "The people who know their God, will be strong and take action." And I would submit today, we are needing action.
Exactly. I can remember a time when, in Virginia, I was downstairs praying about a particular issue. My little wife walked down, and she said, "Praying?" I said, "Yep." She said, "Why don't you stop praying and do something?" And I thought, okay. And at that particular point, some great things began to happen. So sometimes we need a little, what would be a little spiritual kick in the pants, maybe to get going. But you're exactly right. It's exactly right. Prayer is powerful. There's no doubt about it.
Foundation for success in the life of a church, individual, a family, a ministry.
It is. It says, "By faith are you saved according to faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." And we forget that it followed by, "You are God's creationship. You are his creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he hath prepared for you." That's a powerful statement.
Absolutely.
God has work. We're not saved by works.
No.
But we've got work to do. And I would say for our listening audience, if you need to get a hold of your state representative or your state senator or anybody that you know in the public realm, call them. I know it's difficult if you're in a maybe an area like we are in now, where most of our representatives are Christians. It's like trying to preach to the choir. But but there are representatives that can be contacted with a sensible, with an understanding. And if they need help, where can they go, Phil? They can go to a website. Do you have something that they can tap into?
I was just going to share with all of our listeners, everything that Will and I are sharing with you this morning and also the previous week can be viewed at our website, which is hiswayout.com. Our website offers a wealth of information on what is going on. And visiting our website, that will take you also to our Facebook page, which offers a lot of practical steps to guide you in making, you're taking a position and action to oppose the bills that are currently being offered right now in the California State Assembly. So I would encourage you once again to visit our website once again with the articles, the testimonies, the educational videos. A wealth of information is available to you, and we strongly encourage you, please, to use the information, share it, download it. Once again, it's there for you to use.
Well, yes, I agree with that. I'll confirm that. That's absolutely what they need to do. It's time to not be political, but to operate on the anointing that God would give to you and the influence that you can have in your witness for Jesus Christ and also your testimony concerning what the Word of God has to say. This is not what we're saying. This is what God says.
Yes.
I don't want my words to go out. My words and my wisdom are worthless. But God's Word is powerful. It's powerful than a two-edged sword, the Scripture tells us. And it's able to be so precise that it can discern. It's so sharp that it can discern between soul and spirit. That's pretty concise. We're grateful for... I'm just thankful that God has given to me His Word, because a lot of times there are issues and situations that come up that I'm not exactly sure of what I should do or whether I should do anything or not. But the Scripture will begin to come to mind. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for us to take Paul's admonition to Timothy when he says, study to show yourselves approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, understanding, caring for, and promulgating what God's Word has to say.
Yes. Also, again, as an individual, and certainly there are other men and women around the world that have experienced change in their lives. They were once in a very intense battle with same-sex attraction. Incidentally, for those listening, I did not become a Christian to leave homosexuality. I became a Christian because Jesus just makes sense. And for someone such as myself, with everything that's going on, especially in the state of California, for me to deny what Christ has done in my life would be the equivalent of denying Him. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And for people's perception of what it means to be a Christian, don't be deceived to understand that all the aberrant forms of Christianity out there in terms of their worship and their other practices, that somehow is Orthodox Christianity, okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything against folks that want to handle snakes or want to do other things like that, but what I'm going to say is that there is a body of believing Christians who I think are being more closely identified as a remnant, and to understand, too, that within the church, we have tares and wheat. We have goats and sheep. We have different kinds of fish. We have a variety now, obviously, within even the institutional church that makes this very confusing for some people. Get into the Scripture, understand what the Word of God has to say, and rely on what that text says and what God has to say. Okay, you can look at the practices of various Christian religions and denominations, but some of them have gone off the cliff in this, and we need to be very careful.
Yes.
Don't be confused. God is not mocked.
No.
Whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. If you sow good seed, you get a good harvest. If you sow bad seed, you're going to get bad harvest.
Also, once again, to back up what Will and I are sharing with you this morning, scripturally speaking, please visit 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It is abundantly clear that homosexual practice is only one behavior that God says, don't go there. And in His eyes, it is a sin. But also in that same passage, verse 11 says, and this is what some of you were. That's past tense. Men and women have experienced change since even before the Bible was in print. God is still very much in the business of transforming lives. He is still very much in control, regardless of what we see going around the world. So once again, everyone, thanks so much again for tuning in and joining us. I hope you'll be with us again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.